Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and this is another edition of What We Are Reading. And what I'm reading at the moment is this book, The Search for God and the Path to Persuasion by Peter May. A terrific little book all about how to get better at being more persuasive in sharing the gospel with people and thinking that through. He uses the example of the Apostle Paul a great deal, and today we're looking at chapter 6 of Peter's book about Paul in Athens. Very interesting. He makes the point that some people say that perhaps Paul regretted his approach in Athens. Most other places, when he got to a city, he went to the synagogue, spoke to the Jews and the God-fearers, used Old Testament scriptures. But in Athens, he tries a different approach. He quotes other secular philosophers and poets. And the accusation that perhaps Paul regretted his approach is that there was not as much fruit, it appears, in Athens. But Peter says maybe that's not the right way to interpret what goes on there, because there are different harvests in different places, and there was indeed a harvest. But we'll come back to that in just a moment. What about Paul's approach in Athens? Why did he take the approach he did? In Athens, of course, center of philosophy for that part of the world at that time, Paul decides to use other people to quote rather than the Old Testament. So when Paul talks to the Athenians about the fact that God is personal, Peter here writes, Paul illustrated this not by quoting the Old Testament, such as Isaiah 57, verse 15, but by quoting a poem of Epimenides of Crete, who lived about 600 BC, for in him we live and move and have our being, quoting Epimenides. And then when Paul talks about how God made us in his likeness, rather than using perhaps a passage from Genesis 1, verse 27, 28, and so on, Paul quotes from the Stoic poet Aratus, who lived about 300 BC, and he says from him, as some of your own poets have said, we are indeed God's offspring. So we have quotes from Epimenides, we have quotes from Aratus here, and in that way, Paul connects with ways of thinking and sources that they would have respected and connected with in a good way. So it makes me think, and perhaps it might be good for all of us to reflect on, do we think about what would connect with the people we're speaking to? We all have our favorite ways of expressing truths from the gospel with people, but are we thinking about what would connect with the people that we're speaking to? So, for example, when's the last time you used a quote from Beyoncé as a way to connect with someone who might like the music of Beyoncé, perhaps be a bit younger than I am? What did Beyoncé say in one of her songs? I'm a host of imperfection, and you see past all that. I'm a host of imperfection, but you see past all that. Might that be a good way into talking about how God sees us in our imperfections? But beyond that, there's something more. There's one idea for you. What about also the Indian poet, the Nobel Prize winner, Rabindranath Tagore, I'm sure I've not pronounced that right, who said this, death is not extinguishing the light, it is only putting out the lamp because the dawn has come. I'll give that to you again. Death is not extinguishing the light. It is only putting out the lamp because the dawn has come. Might that be a good quote to get into the idea of, well, what does come? What is the dawn? What is dawn bringing after death? Especially if you're speaking to an audience from the Indian subcontinent. What sources do you like to use and find particularly helpful in different contexts? It's a good thing for us to think through why we quote what we quote, why we share what we share. Peter says this towards the end of his chapter about Paul's time in Athens. In Athens, some mocked him, but others were keen to ask him back. We want to hear you again on this subject, they said. I have given some pretty awful talks in my life, but when I get invited back, I assume the previous one must have gone down rather well. And so we see in Athens that some mock Paul, some want to hear more, and some become Christians. I'd be pretty content with that in my sharing of the gospel, whether it's on a one-to-one basis or in teaching and preaching a group. If some mock, that's okay. It will happen. If some are curious and want to know more, that's good. And if some become Christians, what a great thing that is. So let's think carefully about what we use, what sources we use, what information we use as we share with people. Are we thinking about the context of who we're speaking to as we choose what to say? Let me know what you think. mccx@mac.com is my email address, or you can leave a message anywhere you see or hear this recording. Until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.